The Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In this way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may remember from Pastor Lori's sermon last week something that I remember very well, and I told her I was going to remind us all of it again this week. She had pointed out about the Beatitudes, which begin the Sermon on the Mount, and that was the text for last week, that the Beatitudes are meant to remind us what we are, as Jesus, in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, prepares us for what we are to be. And what we are is blessed. Even if we're poor, even if we're hungry, even if we're thirsty, even if we are working hard at the job of peacemaking, even when we're humble, even when we're persecuted, we are blessed to be in relationship with God. And this is what we are, so that what Jesus calls us to be reflects that. We are called to be a blessing. And so, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus affirms this basic foundational tenet of the Hebrew law, of the Hebrew Torah, in the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, we are blessed to be a blessing. Now, this is the context for our gospel today, as Jesus claims to have come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. This is the context when Jesus calls his disciples to be salt and light in the world. This is the context that we are called to be a blessing when Jesus calls his disciples to a higher standard of righteousness than the shallow standard of personal piety. The thrust of what Jesus calls us to be is in this one word, a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing for the world. I think it's interesting, as I look in the Greek of this passage, that Jesus calls us to let our light shine in a specific way. Now, there are different ways that light can shine, and you're familiar with different ways that light can shine. It can shine as a beacon, it can shine as a spotlight, it can shine as a floodlight. But Jesus tells us to let our light shine in a specific way so that people will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. in my experience of salt and light, it is an experience that both salt and light have perhaps their greatest power of blessing most often when the concentration is small and measured. Think of the power of a single lit candle in a cold, dark room. It's powerful, that little candle in a cold and dark room. It can not only shed light, it can shed warmth. Think of a pinch of salt on your favorite dish. Tastes great. Conversely, think about the pain that you feel when you're blinded by the intensely concentrated light of a spotlight shining in your face, especially if you've been in a dark room. I remember as a child, my dad had this curious habit of eating cottage cheese with sugar on it. I don't know if anybody else in the world does that. But it was a habit that I, as a child, readily picked up, much to my mother's chagrin. And I would pour the sugar on my cottage cheese, and that's the way I would eat it. One time at a church dinner, I found my favorite cottage cheese, but alas, there was no sugar to put on it. So I asked for sugar, and someone brought me this bowl of white stuff, and I poured it on to the cottage cheese. I piled it up, as I always did with sugar, but of course it was salt. When I took that first bite, you can imagine, I mean, it burned in my mouth. I can still feel that burning sensation. And it ruined my meal. I couldn't eat anymore. It ruined my appetite. Too much salt is not a good thing. And too much light can blind us. And in contrast to this, Jesus calls us here to be the salt that adds flavor and the gentle light of an oil lamp on a lampstand that transforms the blindness of a dark room into the blessing of sight and navigation so you don't stub your toe every time you walk around. And yet, how many of us Christians, when we read these words of Jesus, immediately succumb to the temptation to take the lid off the salt shaker and to switch on the floodlights? Right? How quick we are to pour salt on what we perceive to be the open wounds of our society, as though the burning rhetoric of fire and brimstone would have any positive healing effect. How quick we are to point fingers of damning accusation against others and claim that we somehow are shining the light of Christ. How quick we are to shine a blinding floodlight in the eyes of people and things that we consider to be sinners or sinful, as though that blinding light would help anyone to navigate the darkness of life apart from God. How quick we are sometimes to focus a spotlight on our own personal piety, our fasting and our prayers and our devotional life, and set ourselves up in the public view as somehow better than the rest, as though this kind of personal spotlight would inspire anyone to follow Jesus. This tendency to concentrate salt and light, this tendency manifests itself among God's people from the Christian right to the Christian left in their polarized and burning rhetoric against one another and against their neighbors. And none of this brings us any closer to the kingdom of God. This is not the gospel of the Lord. Too much concentrated salt burns. And it loses its power to bring flavor. It's good for nothing but to be cast out on the ground. And too much concentrated light blinds people. It loses its power to guide others through the darkness. it might as well be hidden under a bushel basket. This is precisely the failure of the scribes and Pharisees and the righteousness that Jesus criticizes in this text. The salt and the light that they had at their disposal by virtue of their relationship with God, that salt had ceased to bring blessing and flavor to the world. That light had ceased to show people the way to God. Jesus takes up this same theme with the scribes and Pharisees many times throughout the gospel and points out their misguided hypocrisy in trying to shine the spotlight on themselves while they were mistreating others. And it's important to note that this condemnation of Jesus on the personal piety of the scribes and the Pharisees is not inconsistent with the law and the prophets. These people would have claimed that they were doing everything that God called them to do. And indeed, they were doing some things that God called them to do. But they had missed the point. And the law and the prophets, which Jesus claims that he has come to fulfill, are very explicit about, about the kind of light that Jesus is calling his disciples to be, and the kind of righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Psalm 112 that we read responsively a little bit ago talks about the kind of righteousness that endures forever. It says that people who exhibit this kind of righteousness are people who are gracious and merciful, that they have distributed freely, that they have given to the poor. They rise in the darkness as light for the upright. Just as a lamp lit in a dark room enables others to navigate the darkness and to give glory to God. Isaiah 58, our Old Testament passage that was read for us earlier, is even more explicit. On the one hand, Isaiah also points out the wrongness and the hypocrisy of misguided personal piety. He points out, yeah, you're fasting. You're in sackcloth and ashes and bowing your head and acting humble. But at the same time, you're oppressing the others. You're pointing a finger of accusation against others. The religious fast that tries to honor God while dishonoring one's neighbor through malice and persistent injustice is as worthless as salt without flavor, and worthless as light under a bushel. And it's even worse than worthless. Not only does it not shine, not only does it not flavor, but it blinds others from seeing the glory of God. Listen again to the words of Isaiah when he says, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Then your healing shall spring up quickly. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. If you remove the yoke from among you, remove the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday." This is the light that Jesus calls us to shine in the world. These are the good works that people will see and that will point them to give glory to our Father in heaven. They are good works of grace and mercy and justice, loosing the burdens of the oppressed, sharing bread with hungry people, bringing the homeless poor into our own homes, clothing the naked, rejecting the pointing finger to inflict shame and disgrace, extending instead the open arms of welcome to satisfy the needs of the afflicted. These are the good works of the kingdom of God that radiate light, that sprinkle salt, that bring true blessing to the world in recognition of God's glory. These are the works that Jesus refers to later on in this same gospel when he tells the parable about the sheep of the goats, and he says, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was an alien and you welcomed me into your country. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison. You came to visit me and to minister to my needs." Now, this is not rocket science, what Jesus calls us to be in his Sermon on the Mount. It's very clear and very plain and very simple. Jesus calls us from our own experience of what we are. We are blessed. He calls us from our experience of ones who have inherited God's kingdom in spite of our own personal poverty. He calls us as ones who have been comforted in the midst of our mourning. He calls us as ones who have been fed to satisfaction whenever we get hungry. He has called us as ones who have experienced God's mercy even when we don't deserve it. He has called us as ones who have seen God even when our own hearts haven't been the purest. He has called us as ones who are enjoying the blessed status as children of God even when our own attempts to participate in God's work of peacemaking are fumbling at best. He has called us as ones who have assurance of citizenship in God's kingdom even when the kingdoms of this earth have no regard and no use for a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. We are blessed. Richly blessed. And as ones blessed by God, we are called to be channels of God's rich blessing in this world. We're called to be a pinch of salt. We're called to be a ray of light, beacons that faithfully reflect God's glory by sharing the blessing of God's love and God's care for a troubled world. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.